A lasting impression is when someone looks into your countenance, looks into your eyes, and there's something about you that causes them to want to love God. You haven't even said anything. It's your countenance. It's the way you live your life. See, there's a certain point where we begin to realize that God is calling us to take the hand of someone and pray. Thank you for tuning in today. My name's Frankie Mazzapica. The title of the message is Devil at the Crossroads. There is a devil at every single crossroad that you walk into where you are making the decision on whether or not you want to serve God or whether you want to just fulfill your own passions, your own desires. If you're in this room or you're listening to me and you're trying to figure out whether or not you want to accept Jesus as your Savior or whether or not you want to live your life ignoring Him, not believing Him at all, there is a devil at those crossroads. It's trying to pull you away from believing in God. It's trying to pull you away from Him. And if that's you this morning, my challenge to you is just to whisper one prayer. God, if you're real, help me. Help me know that you're real. I promise you, if you're courageous enough to say that, the Holy Spirit will help you. You got to pray that prayer because there's a devil at the crossroads pulling you away from the God who's created you. Some of you are in this room and you already have a relationship with God, but God is calling you to more. He wants to use you in a way, and that's every one of you. He wants to use you in a way to be able to make lasting impressions on people. What is a lasting impression? A lasting impression is when someone looks into your countenance, looks into your eyes, and there's something about you that causes them to want to love God. You haven't even said anything. It's your countenance. It's the way you live your life. It's your words. You can say the simplest words, the simplest sentence, and it causes a lasting impression to where it's so lasting, they never forget what you said. A lasting impression is when you pray for someone and your prayer actually happens. See, there's a certain point where we begin to realize that God is calling us to take the hand of someone and pray. I met with somebody a couple weeks ago who read my book, and he came back and he said, "Nobody is getting healed when I pray for them." And I asked him, "How many people have you held by the hand and prayed for them to be physically healed?" He goes, "No one." And I said, "Well, how do you know they're not being healed?" He says, "Because I pray for them in my room." Now, intercession is powerful, but the trouble with only praying in your room is you're never able to ask them, "Are you healed?" And you sit around and you're hoping for a phone call, but it's been my experience. I can pray for people to get out of the rough spot that they're in. They've been out for weeks and I'm still praying for them. There is a fundamental truth in Hebrews chapter 6 where the Lord says this, that the elementary things of Christianity is to lay hands on people when you pray. This is why Jesus laid hands on people. There is a transference of the anointing that's on your life that goes into their life, a transference of faith. You may think to yourself, "I have no anointing. I'm just trying to claw through life. I want to tell you, God has anointed you, and He has anointed you far beyond what you will ever know. Your short prayers are so powerful that the enemy is petrified, afraid that you will say one sentence to God, because one sentence, one short prayer causes demons to run. It changes the atmosphere. The moment you say Jesus, everything around you begins to change. Some of you may say, I don't know if you're just trying to make me feel good. Well, that's no. I do want to make you feel good. I do want you to be encouraged, but I'm really just quoting scripture. In Psalms 56, 9, it says, the very day you call for help, the tide of the battle turns. The very day you call for help. Sometimes a wave in the ocean, it takes a while to get to the shore. But the wave has been formed way miles out. It's just taken a while to hit the shore. Your prayer causes a move of God, even if you haven't seen it yet. It's on the way. Do you believe that? Come on, put your hands together. I'm going to try to share as much scripture with you today as I possibly can, because my opinion does not change anything in your life. Me just trying to encourage you has limited effect without the Word of God. See, the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it's living and active. When I share a scripture and you say, I believe in that, it starts working in your life. It starts pumping in your veins. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, it says that His Spirit is working inside of you like your heart. Ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. It's working in you to give you the power and the desire to do what pleases Him. It's giving you the power. If you have a desire to walk with Him, to be close to Him, that's His Spirit in you, drawing you to Him. If you say, I don't think I can be very consistent, His Spirit, His power is drawing you and strengthening you. Now, for every person who's trying to figure out whether or not they want to follow God, for every person who's trying to figure out whether they want to pursue Him, there is a devil at the crossroads. There's a devil trying to discourage you. A devil trying to beat you up, to distract you. There's a devil at the crossroads of every important decision. And Jesus says it like this. He wants us to determine and make a pre-decision decision. It's kind of like when you decide you're going to eat well that day. You make that decision in the morning before you ever see a meal. It's a pre-decision decision. And Jesus is saying this, before you decide to follow me, before you decide that you really want more of me, I want you to understand there's a cost. And I want you to count the cost before you make the decision. Because Jesus is trying to say, I don't want you to start following me and leave me. See, the foundation of this message is found in Luke chapter 14, verse 28, where he says this, which of you decides to build a tower without sitting down to count the cost, whether or not you're able to finish it? Which of you would decide to follow Him without determining if you're going to finish your life following Him? Which of you? And he's saying, I don't want you to run into a decision where there's a devil at the crossroads between good and evil, between righteous and unrighteous, between holy and unholy. I don't want you to go to that crossroads and turn your back on me. In John chapter 6, verse 66, Jesus began to teach things that were confusing. All of us will have moments in our life that are confusing. God, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? Why did you allow this to happen? All of these moments. In John 6, 66, the Bible says that when his disciples heard these things, they abandoned Jesus. They left Jesus. They turned their back on Jesus, his disciples. Now, we're not talking about the 12 apostles. He had a discipleship program where he was discipling people. This wasn't the multitudes that were following him. This was his disciples. And they said, this is too much for me. I have three major points regarding how the devil is at the crossroads. The first point is the decision process in the moment. The second point is revolving the cost that you have to be willing to make in that moment. And the third point is the life that God gives you and offers you and partners with you if you're willing to make the decision, accept the cost. Let me dive right into it, the decision moment. I have a friend of mine that made this decision to change his entire life. And it was actually very comical. If you follow me on Facebook or Instagram, you've already seen this video because it was a selfie video. So you may have already seen it, but I want to share it with everyone. Take a look at this is the moment.
I met this guy at an event the other day. And when I shook his hand, he said, look, man, I got to be honest with you. I really, really did not want to like you. And I'm like, why not? And he said, my wife dragged me to your church. I did not want to come. And so I showed up with a Yeti full of vodka and juice. I was sitting there on the fourth row, hammered. He goes, I stood up and I almost fell down. And he goes, months later, I can't even explain what happened to me. Like, I am a new person. I love God. I thank God that my wife rescued me. Like, she rescued me. She kept praying for me. I want to encourage you, pray relentlessly for the things that you're passionate about, for the people that you love. It's the most powerful thing you'll ever do.
Great testimony. There were two people in that clip that I'm referring to that made a decision at the crossroads. The first one was his wife. And she looked at her husband. No doubt she thought his heart is made of stone. There is no way that he will ever turn his back on his own desires. See, everyone is a Christian, but everyone's Christianity gets tested when it's time to make a sacrifice. It's easy to call yourself a Christian until it's inconvenient. And when it's time to make a sacrifice, it is that moment where we find out who's a Christian and who's not a Christian. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, it says this. It says, and we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. For those who live righteously and love other believers, they are a children of God. In other words, those who do not live righteously, those who are not pursuing God, It doesn't say those who are perfect. It's those who, when they say something or do something that isn't right, they stand up, they brush themselves off, and they keep pursuing God. But this wife, she was at a crossroads. She was thinking, she could have easily thought, my husband's, his conscience is seared. He's too far gone. His heart is made of stone. She was at a crossroads on whether or not she was going to keep on believing, keep on praying. Praying is not just thinking in your mind what you hope to happen. Praying is opening your mouth and having a conversation with God. She could have very easily stopped having those conversations, interceding for her husband. She was at a crossroads. She chose to be courageous enough to keep praying, to keep believing. Her husband found himself at a crossroads. There was something inside of him pulling him towards God. It was the Holy Spirit pulling him towards God. And he was at a crossroads, and there was a devil at the crossroads saying, if you choose to follow God, you're going to have to turn your back and sacrifice all the things that, even though God hates it, you love it too much to turn around. How are you going to sacrifice your own desires so that you can be loyal to God? He was at the crossroads. I've met too many people that just believe in Jesus. The devil believes in Jesus, just believes in Jesus, but is not willing to sacrifice the things that their flesh longs to do in order to be a follower. These are people who I call fans. They're fans of Jesus. They believe that he's great, but they're not a follower of Jesus. This is the moment of decision. Am I going to say the right thing? If I'm going to say the thing that I mean, that I feel, let me illustrate this. I'm half Italian, I'm half Brazilian. So this is a cocktail mix of too much passion. It's too much passion. Somebody needs to just dump water in me and filter it all out. And so throughout my life, when someone is talking crazy to me, I think to myself, I invented crazy. I will meet your crazy and raise you by 15 crazies. You can't out crazy me. If you want to talk loud, I can talk louder. If you want to talk fast, I'm going to talk fast. If you want to go nuts, I'm going to go nuts. You're not ready for me to go crazy. And this is the crossroads where the devil's saying, if they want to treat you like that, then you treat them like that. This is the crossroads. Let me jump over to the cost. The cost at the crossroads, it will always cost you something. See, living for Jesus, you will find one sacrifice after the other necessary. Not just living for him, but the moment where you say, I have been at the same level of intimacy with God far too long. I want to be closer to him. I want my prayers to make a greater impact. I want to feel his presence more than I ever have. It's a frustrating moment that I have found myself in, where I've looked back and I've said, I have felt his presence to the same degree for too long. I want to be closer to him. I want to know his ways far more than I do. I want to have dreams. I want to have visions. I want to be able to make lasting impressions. I want to be able to be used by him in greater ways. See, some of you may say, look, you're being used right now. I only preached for 25 minutes. This is 25 minutes of my week. I want to be able to go into my room, shut the door behind me, begin to pray, and angels come behind my prayers and free my loved ones, free my friends, change the atmosphere in my house. Come on, are you with me on that? But there's a devil at the crossroads, and there is a cost to that type of relationship. It requires time. It requires saying, no, I'm not going to be crazy. It requires saying no to temptations, things that we want to do that we know God doesn't want us to do. There's a cost. There's a soccer player, I always mess up his first name. It's Lionel Messi. Ooh, I said it perfect. I always call him Messi, but just in case I mess up his first name, it's Lionel Messi. He is arguably the greatest soccer player on the planet right now. In a Saudi Arabia, a soccer team in Saudi Arabia offered him 1.6 with a B, $1 billion to come to Saudi Arabia to play on a soccer team for 3 years. He said no. I have had indigestion about that decision for about a week. I have said to one person over the next, if you were to pay me $6 billion to dress like a clown for 3 years, I would be looking for my red nose. I can't think of anything that I wouldn't do for $1.6 billion. And then someone said something to me that knocked me on my heels. They said, you wouldn't take it. And I said, give me the opportunity to make that decision. And the person said to me, Saudi Arabia. I speak for a living. Give me a break. The country you know I'm talking about. It is a Muslim society. And practicing Christianity in public is not allowed. And there is no division between church and state. So if the state says it is illegal, then the law is illegal, and people, officers, police, whatever they call them, they can walk around and arrest and charge you with a crime if you are worshiping or if you're a Christian openly. You can't share your faith. You can't wear a necklace with a cross on it. You can't celebrate Christmas publicly. You can go in your closet and shut the door and celebrate it. You can't celebrate Easter. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, 1.6 billion is off the table. It's off the table. This is a non-negotiable. See, if you take a Christian and a non-Christian and allow them to live together in the same moment. I don't want to say it like this. Let me say it like this. If there is a Christian and a non-Christian together and you don't know which one's the Christian or the non-Christian, neither of them are Christian. Amen. There has to be a difference in the lifestyle. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, it says this, that on judgment day, many will stand before me and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we pray for people and there were miracles in your name? And the Lord will say back to them, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of lawlessness. Because these individuals, they were at a crossroads and they were walking down one and then they back up and walking down the other. They had two lives going back and forth. They were loyal to one and they participated in the other. And if you participate in both lifestyles, you're not loyal to either. And the Bible says, if you want to bounce back and forth, I'm going to look at you and say, depart from me. See, this is the choice. This is the cost. Let me remind you that the Lord looks at you and says, I want to make lasting impressions on people's life with you. I want you to be able to speak to them. I want your countenance to bless them. When you're around them, I want to allow you to give them more courage. This is what I want to do with. This is the life I want to have with you. But there is a crossroads. There is a cost. There is a decision. But the life that comes along with that outweighs any cost that there is. When I was 18 years old, I was offered a sales position with a base salary of $100,000 at 18 years old. At that time, minimum wage was $375, and it was $375. I could make $100,000 or I could make $375, and that was all the money I had ever made. When that position was laid out before me, I hesitated just for a split second and I pushed back because I thought maybe I could make more than that. In my head, my father didn't make that. Nobody I knew made that. But I had this feeling there was more money on the table. And so I looked at him and I said, wait a minute. You want me to drop out of college for $100,000? That's not going to happen. Now, little did he know, I was only taking one class in college and I was failing. But he didn't need to know all that information. I said, you want me to drop out of college for $100,000? He goes, I'll tell you what. There's a guy who just retired from the company. He's got $50,000 of already existing accounts. I'll give it all to you. I said, for $150,000, you want me to drop out of college? Give me 24 hours to think about it. I got in my car that had no gas. I had to pump the gas to get it to start. And I'm telling him, I need to think about it. What am I thinking? I look back and just the next week, somebody offered me an internship, I'm a Houstonian, to move to Chicago for 3 years for a ministerial internship and to go to Bible college at the same time. I went up there, my first question was, how much are you going to pay me? They said, you're going to go into someone else's home and you're going to live in that home for 3 years. And we're going to give you $41 a week to take care of your gas and allow you to get a Frosty at Wendy's. This was a no-brainer. I'm taking the money, honey. And they looked back at me and they said, are you not willing to pay the cost? And it rattled me over and over again. See, some of us, it's a dollar amount that's the cost. For other people, it's a relationship that you have to let go. For other people, it's saying, these words aren't coming out of my mouth anymore. It's an addiction that you say, dear God, I don't want anything to do with that, but I'm going to need you to strengthen me. It's a crossroads. There is a devil at the crossroads on every critical decision you will ever make. I chose to go towards the ministry route, and I was bitter about it for about a year. No, just kidding. I got over it pretty quick. It was about 6 months. But there was a devil at the crossroads. I want to tell you that some of the strongest prayer warriors I've ever seen, The people that pray and we see miracles take place. People with the strongest spiritual gifts I've ever seen are not the preachers on the stage. They're the saints in the sanctuary. When I need someone to pray for me, I always call my grandma somewhere because grandmas are done trying to make money. They're done trying to impress people and they know how to pray. I pray a grandma spirit on the head of every single person in this room that we can kind of get over all of these other tantalizing things in life. You know, the devil is like a fisherman. He shows the glitter and the ribbons and hides the hook. There are things in life that we are thinking to ourselves, I am not willing to give this up. I'm not willing to give that up. I'm not willing to forgive them. I'm not willing to worship. Can I tell you this? That the cost is high. But the reward is far greater. It's your victory. The things that you are carrying, the burden, the weight, the temptation, all of these things are in the balance of whether or not we are able to pay the cost and make the decision of saying, if I don't do anything well in life, I will be a great worshiper. Even if it means I say the same sentence over and over again, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. If there's one thing I'll be good at, if there's one thing I'll be consistent at, it will be worshiping, it will be praising. Did you know you cannot drift into the presence of God? You cannot drift into God's plan for your life. You cannot drift and all of a sudden wake up one morning and have more authority in your life. You have to purposely pursue His presence. And as you're pursuing His presence, you find that His plan for your life becomes clear. You discover that doors open for you. I was praying for something the other day. I don't even remember quite what it was. And I was really hoping that God was going to do whatever I was asking Him for. And I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me, not out loud, just right down in here. And He said, I am capable of doing so much more. Can I tell you that God is capable of doing so much more than what you're hoping for, than what you're desiring for? And it's not that all of a sudden you have to be John the Baptist, Abraham, or Mary, or Esther. The only thing you have to do is when you're at that crossroads and you know there's a devil at the crossroads, you say, dear God, I need your help. I need your strength. I love you. There's nothing else I want more than you. And so, Lord, help me at this moment. And I promise you, your burden may not get lighter, but you will get stronger and you will see how God will partner with you to make lasting impressions in the people you talk with. Do you receive that? Come on, put your hands together. Do you receive that? Every single Sunday at this moment right now, I don't plan for it. I do ask the media team to prepare a testimony of somebody being physically healed because every single time we pray for healings, people get healed. I was out in the lobby signing books and a guy told me, he goes, hey, my wife was healed of cancer right in the middle of the service. And I just thought, dear God, you're doing things far greater than what I could have ever imagined. But it's at this moment where I just think, God, what do you want us to do? Now, if you're a guest in this room and you think, are you about to get weird? No, I'm about to get spiritual. Amen. And I've been preaching for 27 years. Started when I was 7. For 27 years. And long ago I crossed the line where a full sanctuary like what we have this morning is not enough for me. Because I know that everyone who walks through that door is needing a miracle. You're needing a miracle, and the reason why you're in this room right now is because you know that if God doesn't move in your life, that miracle will not happen. You know that the things that you desire, your hopes, your dreams, they're beyond your strength. You can't change their heart. You can't change that person. You can't all of a sudden go kick a door open and get a better job and get a raise. You can't do that on your own. And so we are in this sanctuary now because we love God. We want to be closer to God, and we need him to fight for us. And I'm not willing to allow people to come walk in this sanctuary and leave the same way. I'm not willing. And so it's at this moment where I lean on the Holy Spirit, because I don't know what your need is. But what I do know is that there are evil spirits, there are devils that are chasing every one of us, that's doing his best to torment us, to distract us. And if the Apostle Peter, who walked step by step with Jesus, if the enemy could invade and manipulate his thoughts to the point where Jesus had to rebuke him, then every single one of us are fighting devils just like him. And whenever we rebuke the devil, whenever we call on him, oftentimes people are physically healed. They feel the weight and the torment come off of them. Addictions go away. But before that freedom takes place, let me say this. I've seen so many people get delivered by these spirits. And just so you know, before this service, before the first service started, I was in my office and I prayed the same prayer that we're about to pray together. I'm anointed to preach this, but I gotta live it and fight it just like everyone else. What was I saying before I said that? You have no idea, because I was chasing rabbits all over the place. Oh, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. They're freed, but then in a few days or a few weeks later, the same tormenting spirit comes back. This happens because we forget, in our own words, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, those who pursue the Spirit of God will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When we stop pursuing, those evil spirits are like boomerangs and they come right back around. That's why it's so important that you're in the house of God. That's why it's so important that your car becomes a sanctuary. That's why it's so important to play worship music in your house. Because when you're worshiping him and you're pursuing him, the devil can't get close to you. Do you know, this is interesting. I know I'm talking long, but one of the things that I fight most in my life is depression. It's depression. And I've noticed that when I get depressed, my chin drops. I just found this, just noticed this. The Holy Spirit showed it to me about 4 days ago. But in that moment, when I lift my chin to the Lord, the depression fades. I drop it, it comes back. I lift it, it goes away. And I thought to myself, I really wish I would have figured this out 25 years ago. But the Lord knew that I would share that today. You know how important it is just to lift your chin. Why don't you stand to your feet? We're going to pray a prayer together. I feel terrible that the service has lasted so long. It's the reason. But what the enemy would like for me to do is try to make up for it, dismiss you guys, and not give the Spirit an opportunity. I want you to pray this prayer with me, and I want you to mean it. I want you to lift your chin, and I want you to say it like you mean it. Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me on the cross. Say it. Come on, say it like you mean it. Lord Jesus, you rose again on the third day. You redeemed me with your blood. Come on, everyone, let's say it together. There it is. I belong to you and I want to live for you. Forgive me as I forgive others. Just take 10 seconds now, and anyone who comes to your mind that you need to forgive, just whisper their name, not loud enough for the people next to you to hear it. Just say their name. Go ahead. Let's continue on. I confess all of my sins, the known and the unknown. I'm sorry for them all. I renounce them all. Lord Jesus, cleanse me with your blood. I come to you now as my deliverer. You know all of my special needs. The things that defile. The things that torment me. The evil spirits. The unclean spirits. I claim the promises of your word. That whosoever shall call on you shall be freed. I'm calling on you right now. Deliver me and set me free. Satan, I renounce you in all of your wicked schemes. I free myself now in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, Satan, leave me. In Jesus' name, amen. With your hands still up, if the enemy is tormenting you and tormenting your thoughts the way he did with Peter, or tormenting your body, I just want you to, by faith, just blow out by faith like it's leaving you. 5 times, nice and slow. I've seen people cough when they do this. I've seen people cry when they do this. But just go ahead and breathe out by faith. 1, 2, 3, go. Nice and slow. Five times. Don't pray with me. Let me just pray for you. Every evil spirit that's tormenting anyone in this room, I command you to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak freedom in the room of every single man, of every single woman, within every single household, within every single family. I speak freedom over sickness. Satan, if you are tormenting someone's body, I speak healing and I command you to leave in Jesus' name. If there are any children in the back that you are tormenting, we rebuke you now. We command you to leave in the name of Jesus. Every single child that is fighting something physical, every single child that's fighting something emotional, every single child that is having a mental struggle, we command freedom. We command health in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak health and freedom now in Jesus' name. If you receive that, would you raise both hands and say, thank you, Jesus, about 175 times. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, mean it. Thank you, Jesus. Now give them a standing ovation. Come on.